morning. Could you move to the back row? It's going to be so annoying. For those of you that don't know me, my name's Stephen Greenway. I'm the other half of Sharon who did the communion this morning. So great to be with you guys. And if you are new here this morning, welcome. It's great to have you here. I was just thinking about the first time that Sharon and I walked through these doors about 18 years ago. 18 years ago, we walked through these doors. The church was quite different back then. We had a stage at that end of the building, and all of this was just big old couches and sofas and little coffee tables. And if you were late, then you got the stink chairs at the back that were like the chairs you're on now. Yeah. It was awesome. We had been in Hamilton for about 16 years over there, been involved over there, and we moved back here. And when we moved back, a good friend of ours, who's Don Berry, the pastor of the church over there, just said to us, "Hey, I think you should go and check out what was then the Vineyard." It was the Vineyard Church then, and he said a great friend of mine, Grant and Deb Souter, actually doing that church. I think you guys would really connect in there. So our first church that we came to when we came back to Tauranga, we'd been brought up in Tauranga, but we were over 16 years. Our first church that we came back to when we walked in was this church. And the moment we walked through the doors, we were home. It was the weirdest thing. We had been in a church in Hamilton with Don, and that was home for us. Everything about it we loved his teaching, we loved the worship, we loved everything. And when we left there, I was driving home one night from work, and as I was driving home, I just felt the Lord say, "You're leaving." We had no plans to leave Hamilton. But he said, "You're leaving." And I thought, "Oh man, Sharon's not going to like this." We had a really great old bay villa out on 3 acres out in the country. We'd moved it there. We'd done it up. We'd spent hours and hours and, you know, argument and arguments on it. And it was all just what we wanted, and it was beautiful. We had, that stage, three kids. And they loved it. It was a great space for them. And I got home to Sharon. I said, "I think we're moving." And she said, "Yeah, I know." Great. Yeah, typical. And within about 3 or 4 weeks, we were gone. 16 years of being involved and really involved in the church there. And we came here, and we left our home, and we came to this place, and we walked in, and it was like God said, another part of the garden, and this is your home. And the moment we walked in, something shifted in our hearts, and we were home. And that hasn't changed in 18 years. And obviously, if you've been with Curate for that length of time, you'll know that it's been through some journeys. There's been some bends in the road, right? But a bend is only fatal if you fail to take the corner, right? So long as you're prepared to hear God and listen to his voice and keep moving forward, and just, as Deb said to me this morning, just keep standing in your post, then everything else is up to God, right? He'll take care of everything else. Stand in your post. Stay where God's planted you. Stay in that place, and God will bless you for it. And we've been through lots of seasons. You know, we never anticipated when we walked through the doors of this church how much this church would wrap its arms around us in times of deep, deep distress. You know, when our youngest son lost his sight, this church wrapped its arms around us. They fasted and they prayed. They stopped a whole service just to pray for us. That's family. And there's been numerous times over the years where this family has wrapped its arms around us through numerous operations on our youngest son and numerous moments through that journey where there have been the darkest times of our lives, but family has been there in the midst of it. And I'm so grateful that God brought us through those doors 18 years ago. And that has not changed. You know, I was thinking of a story that my dad used to tell. My dad was just short little fat Welsh fella, and he was amazing. He was so generous and kind, and so humble. We didn't realise my dad had 4 doctorates till he died, but he had, when he was had a Doctor of Divinity. He was a Bible teacher and scholar, and he travelled the world and he started Bible colleges for the apostolic movement all over the world. Dad died when I was 18, but he was 80. There was a big age difference between my mum and dad. But he was in Japan starting a Bible college, and I remember him telling me a story when I was just a little fella when the Japanese people went down to the rice paddies, you know, with all the water and the little tracks around them, and they'd go there early, early, early in the morning, and it was dark. And so they'd have a pole across their shoulder, and you've probably seen it with a basket front and a basket at the back, but on the front basket, they'd have a little light hanging, and that front basket would swing back and forward as they walked. Every time they took a step, the basket swung, and when it swung, it just cast enough light from the lamp that was hanging below it to know what the next step was. And that's all they needed to find their way to where they were going. And I was just thinking, you know, in seasons where things are quite dark and things are unpredictable and it's confusing, and most of us like to know exactly what's happening, you know, all the futuristic people, that's not me, but the futuristic people want to know what's happening, you know, 5 months, 6 months, 10 years' time. These are really difficult seasons because we don't know. We do know Jesus wins at the end, right? Okay, so we know that. But in the gap in the middle, we never seem to fill with anything good. So all we need in those times is we just need the Word of God to shine the next step so we know where we're going. That's all we need. You know, sometimes all you need is to know that God is there, right? We just need to hear His voice in that one little moment, and it's enough. You know, there was another story that I just want to share with you, just leading in another story actually about my dad. As I said, he was a Bible teacher and he travelled a lot. He pastored churches. And one of the stories I heard, it was actually after he passed away, I was travelling with a good friend of his, a guy called Gordon Pello. He's also passed away. But he was a great friend of my dad's, and he used to travel with him a lot to all these different meetings that Dad would do. And he was travelling with him one day to one particular meeting that was out of Morai. And the whole area was there, and he was coming to teach. And there was another speaker there as well that was going to speak before he spoke. But they were travelling in the car, and as they're travelling, Gordon is talking with Dad, and Dad's just explaining to him what he's going to do and the message he's going to give, and just giving him the outline and just filling him in on what he was what he had prepared for. And as they arrive there, they arrive there and they get themselves seated at the back, and I'm assuming a big room, a lot of people, and the first speaker gets up to speak. And as he's speaking, Gordon realises that the speaker is speaking exactly the same message that my dad has prepared. Awkward. Exactly the same message. So Gordon is sitting there going, man, what is he going to do? Like, he's prepared, he's got an hour's worth of teaching, and it's exactly what this guy is doing. And this guy is ticking off Dad's points one after the other. And Gordon's just going, oh my goodness, this is going to be interesting. And obviously my dad is a Welshman. He's not Māori. He doesn't know te reo Māori. So he's probably never heard a word of it. This is 70 years ago. So Gordon is sitting there wondering what's going to go on. My dad's sitting there showing no real sign of expression. And then it's his time. The guy finishes, he closes in prayer. My dad gets up. And he walks to the front of the meeting house. And Gordon is going, man, it's going to be good. And I don't know what he was thinking as he's walking up there. I know what I'd be thinking. I should have ducked out where that guy was praying, you know. Heart attack, rapture, anything would have been good. I don't know what he was thinking, but as he got up to the front of the meeting house, he closed his eyes. And he opened his mouth, and for 45 minutes, he spoke fluent te reo Māori. Never spoken a word in his life. And Gordon said, as soon as he opened his mouth and he began to speak, there was such a tangible presence of God in that place that he could not physically remain in his seat. He said there was such a weight that began to push down on him. He found himself getting pushed further and further and further down until he found himself flat on the floor. And for 45 minutes, that's where he stayed. And after 45 minutes, he managed to get his chin up off the ground enough to see if everybody was looking at him and realised that there wasn't a person in a seat, that the entire meeting house was just covered with bodies lying on the floor. Dad finished, walked to the back, sat back in his chair. I don't know what Dad was thinking as he walked up there, but I do know that God was speaking to him and that he heard God's voice. I do know that when he arrived at the front on that podium or wherever, whatever he was speaking from, I know in that moment God spoke to him and he was obedient to what God said. He heard God's voice and he's obedient to what God said, and something tangible and miraculous happened in that room that would have never happened if Dad had shot out during the prayer time. And this morning, I'd just love to start a conversation with us about hearing the voice of God. Because I believe that hearing the voice of God is one of the greatest abilities that we can have as followers of Jesus. In fact, even Jesus tells us that. You know, after he was fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, the enemy comes to him, Satan comes to him and says, "Hey, if you're really God, why don't you turn those stones into loaves of bread?" And what was his reply? "Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word from the mouth of God." I don't know about you, but after 40 days and 40 nights, bread. Man, I would have wanted bread. That would have smelled so good. But that's how important the word of God is to us. You know, there's not a season in your life that you can go through that won't be better off if you can hear his voice. Not a season. Sharon and I have been through some super tough seasons. We've been through some great seasons, but man, we've been through some real, real crap seasons where if we couldn't have heard his voice, I don't know that we would have made it. I honestly don't. You know, sometimes all you need is to know that God is beside you, right? He doesn't pull you out of it, but you just need to know that he's there at least, that he knows you're there, right? You just need to hear his voice saying, "Man, I know that's tough. I know that's hard. I can see you." There's not a season you can go through that won't be better for hearing the voice of God. There's not a relationship that you can have that won't be better for being able to hear the voice of God. He knows everything about you. He knows everything about the ones you love. He will speak into those relationships. He'll tell you things that you would never know otherwise. There is not a relationship that you can have that won't be better off if you can hear his voice. And there's not a season in your life that you can go through that won't be better off if you can hear his voice. You know, as I look through the word and I look through the word of God, it's clear that hearing God's voice is not only essential for our journey, it's also the desire of God's heart for us. We see that in John 10, where Jesus talks about his sheep, which is you and I, and he says, "My sheep listen to my voice, I know them and they follow me." My sheep listen to my voice, I know them. I know them. And they follow me. The first thing I want you to see this morning is that God is committed to speaking to us. God wants to speak to us. God wants us to hear his voice. God wants to be a part of every conversation. We see this in Job 33, verse 14, which I think is one of the most remarkable verses that I've read in Scripture. It says, "For God does speak now one way, now another, though man may not perceive it. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls on men as they slumber in their beds, as he may speak in their ears and terrify them with warnings to keep man from wrongdoing and keep him from pride, to preserve his soul from the pit, his life from perishing by the sword." The Living Bible puts it like this: "For God speaks again and again in dreams and visions of the night when deep sleep falls on men as they lie on their beds. He opens their ears in times like that and gives them wisdom and instruction, causing them to change their minds and keeping them from pride and warning them of the penalties of sin and keeping them from falling into some trap." You know, this passage enumerates for us four reasons why God speaks to us. It's to keep us on track. It's to turn us. It's to keep us on track. It's to keep us from pride, because God opposes the proud is to keep us from pride, is to preserve us, is to save us from unnecessary heartache and harm, is to save us from sin and from death. You know, not only does God want to speak to us, but it tells us that he speaks to us in many different ways. There's all sorts of ways that God tries to communicate with us. He speaks to us through his word. He speaks to us through his spirit. He speaks to us through friends. He speaks to us through creation. He speaks to us through so many different ways because he's so desperate to communicate with us and to speak with us and for us to hear his voice. You know, the Bible tells us two things about the nature of God in relation to us hearing his voice. First of all, in 1 John 1 verse 5, it says this: "This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, God is light. In him, there is no darkness at all." And in 1 John 4 verse 8, it says, "Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." So the Bible tells us two very critical things about God. One, he is light, and two, he is love. And the thing that we know about those two things is that love always communicates and light always reveals. The very essence of who God is to communicate and to reveal who he is to us. Listen to what he says in Isaiah 45 verse 19. "I publicly proclaim bold promises." This is the Lord speaking. "I publicly proclaim bold promises. I do not whisper obscurities in some dark corner so that no one can know what I mean. And I didn't tell Israel to ask me for what I didn't plan to give. No, for I, Jehovah, speak only truth and righteousness. I publicly proclaim bold promises. I don't whisper obscurities in some dark corner." And yet in Job 33, verse 40, it says, "Yet man does not perceive it." How can that be? How can God speak and man not perceive it? In Psalm 29, verse 3-9, we're given a description there by the psalmist of the voice of the Lord. Listen to this. "He makes Lebanon skip like a calf, Syrian like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord strikes with flashes of lightning. The voice of the Lord shakes the desert. The Lord shakes the desert of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord twists the oaks and strips the forest bare, and in his temple all cry glory." That's the voice of the Lord. Like flashes of lightning. It strips the forest. It turns trees inside out. The whole of creation is moved by his voice, except for man who does not perceive it. Why is that? Why is that? I think there's four main reasons that we need to consider when we consider the fact that we don't hear the voice of God, or if we don't hear the voice of God. I think there's four things that we just need to ponder and look at and just allow the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts and say, is this the blockage for me? Because clearly God wants to speak to us. Clearly God is doing everything he can to speak to us. And if we're not hearing it, then there's something at our end that we need to address, right? So the four main reasons that I think that we don't hear the voice of God, and they're not the only reasons, I just think they're the main reasons, is firstly, unbelief. If we don't believe that God wants to speak to us, then we won't listen for God's voice. If we don't believe, then we won't listen. And we know through Scripture that unbelief limits what God will do. We see that when Jesus arrived back in his hometown of Nazareth. You know, after doing all these amazing miracles all around the countryside, he comes back home to his hometown. And we're told that when he arrives back there, they just didn't believe him. They didn't believe his words. They didn't believe he was the Son of God. And because they didn't believe him, it says that he was unable to do any great miracles. He could only do a few because of their unbelief. If we want to hear God's voice, then the first thing we need to do is believe that he wants to speak to us. We need to believe that he wants to speak to us. Sometimes it's easy to believe that he wants to speak to everybody else, right? But the Scripture clearly tells us he wants an intimate relationship with you and I. The second reason, I think, is something that I'd say is an undeveloped spirit. Kind of a weird thing, I know. But you know, the Bible teaches that we are made up of three parts, body, soul, and spirit. And it's the spirit part of us that is made alive unto Christ and it's at salvation. And it's also the spirit part of us that is the part that connects and communes with God. It's the part of us that hears God. It's the part of us that connects in that realm. But when we are saved, when we come into our relationship with Jesus Christ and we are saved, that part of us, that spirit, it's just like a little seed. It's just something small. And the Bible tells us that we need to grow that seed. We need to mature that seed. We need to extend that in our lives so that we can hear God's voice more and more. It's about godliness. It's about moving into the likeness of Jesus Christ. Hearing the voice of God, let me just read you a couple of verses. Hebrews 5 verse 14 says, "But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Okay, that's talking about the spiritual part of who we are. And the NIV translation puts it this way, "But solid food is for the mature, for those whose faculties have been trained by practice to distinguish between good and evil." Hearing the voice of God requires a commitment to exercising those faculties, that spiritual dimension of who we are. There are no shortcuts. You don't get more spiritual by sitting next to someone who's more spiritual. Okay, it just doesn't work like that. I wish it did. I'd just sit next to Sharon all the time. We have to exercise those faculties. It's intuition, it's conscience, it's communion. It's the God-conscious part of who we are. And these faculties, this part of who we are, they're exercised through spiritual disciplines. There's absolutely no shortcut. If there was, I would have found one, I'm telling you. I've looked. There's none. Fasting, prayer, Bible study, gratitude, simplicity, silence, medication, confession, worship, stewardship, serving, and a host of others. Spiritual disciplines. When was the last time you fasted? When was the last time something mattered so much to you fasted? When was the last time you just sat in silence? You know, if there's a banner that could be put over this generation, it would be distraction, right? When was the last time you sat in silence and just said, "Speak to me. Lord, speak to me." When was the last time there was confession in your life? That you went to somebody that you trusted and loved and just confessed some of the things in your life that you know you need to change? Spiritual disciplines. When we fail to develop and grow in these spiritual disciplines and practices that move us toward godliness, because that's what they're designed for, is to move us toward godliness into the image of His Son, then our ability to know the ways of Jesus and to hear His voice is diminished. There are no shortcuts. The next one that I think is what the Bible refers to as a spirit of slumber. Kind of an odd thing, not the kind of thing you'd all often hear in church. A spirit of slumber or a spirit of stupor in some translations. And we see this in Romans 11 where Paul tells us that because Israel refused to believe the truth that Jesus was revealing, God gave them a spirit of stupor. Let me tell you what's Romans 11 verse 7. Let me just read it to you. "Israel failed to obtain what it was seeking. That is God's favor by obedience to the law." So Israel was trying to obtain God's favor by just obeying the rules, just adhering to the law, doing everything right. They added a lot of their own as well. And so they tried to get God's favour by doing that. But as we know, we're saved by grace, right? That we can't earn God's favour. It's a gift that God has given to us. And those in that day that realised that are the second group. The chosen few obtained it, while the rest of them became hardened and callously indifferent. Just as it is written in Scripture, God gave them a spirit of stupor, eyes that do not see and ears that do not hear. So they refused to believe the words of Jesus. They refused to see Him as the Christ. And they refused to receive that revelation. And so God gave them a spirit of stupor. He closed their eyes and he closed their ears. Which on reading, it's like, why would God do that? But I just want to explain something to you. In James 4, verse 17, we're told this. Remember, it is sin to know what you ought to do and then not to do it. It is sin to know the right thing, but not to do the right thing. It is sin to have something revealed to you that is true, but then not adhere to that revelation and be obedient to it. It's sin. And when we're not faithful with what God has spoken to us, then in his mercy, he stops speaking. I think that often, as followers of Jesus, saved by grace, we sometimes forget how much God hates the sin in our lives. Not because it undermines our salvation, that's not up for grabs, but because it impedes the process of sanctification in our lives. Sanctification is the process that we go through once we've been saved. So we have been saved at salvation. We've asked Jesus Christ our heart as our Lord and Saviour. Sanctification is the process where we are being saved, where God is, through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, is transforming us into the image of his Son. And then regeneration is where all of that comes together. But we're in that process of sanctification. And I don't think that often we don't realise just how much sin impedes that process in our lives. God's love for us is unconditional, no question about it. But he has no tolerance for the sin we harbour in our hearts, and he won't add to that sin by giving us revelation that we will ignore. He won't add to it. He's far too merciful and gracious. So my question, I guess, around that would be, if you haven't heard the voice of God for a while, what was the last thing he said to you? And were you obedient to what he spoke to you? Did you follow through on it? Did you make that change in your life? Did you do that thing that he asked you to do? Did you sacrifice that thing that you needed to sacrifice? Because perhaps that's what you need to do. And finally, neglect. I think often we don't hear the word of the Lord, the voice of God, simply because of neglect. Now, there's a great story in the New Testament, which you'll all be familiar with, I'm sure, Luke chapter 10, verse 38, the story of Mary and Martha. Let me just read the story to you. Martha, now as they went on their way, he entered a certain village, this is Jesus and his disciples, where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by many tasks, so she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has let me do all the work by myself? Tell her to come and help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken from her." Now, that word distracted in the Greek means to be overoccupied, too busy about a thing. To be overoccupied and too busy about a thing. In the Living Bible, it says, "But the Lord said to her, 'Martha, dear friend, you are so upset over all these details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about.'" Only one thing worth being concerned about. Distractions and details. As I said earlier, one of our biggest enemies is simply distractions. We are distracted away from the things that God wants us to be doing, and we neglect to do them. What Martha was doing was not a bad thing. She's in there, she's preparing meals, she was cleaning up, she was looking after the disciples, she was looking after Jesus. What she was doing was a good thing, but so often it's the good thing that robs us of the best. And if we are going to hear the voice of God, we need to understand that there are some things in our life that are just activity, and there are some things in life that bring accomplishments. And there is a difference between those two. And in verse 39, we're told that Mary found what that was. She sat at the feet of Jesus and she listened to his voice. And what I want to say this morning, what I want to encourage you this morning, is that we need to hear his voice. You need to hear his voice. It's not enough. You know, in the days of old, when the Israelites needed to hear the word of the Lord for them, they would go to their leader, and then their leader would go to the priest, and then the priest would go to Moses, and then Moses would go to the Lord, and the Lord would give him a word. And then Moses would go back to the leader. All the people ever heard was an echo of the voice of the Lord. We don't need to be that. We can hear his word personally. We need to pursue it. Let me pray for you. Father, we're so aware of our lack and so aware of your provision. Father, I pray that for many of us this morning, it would be a line in the sand, that it would be a stake nailed in. That, Father, if you've spoken to us in any of those areas, Lord, if you've whispered into our hearts, whether it's neglect, whether it's unbelief, Lord, whether it's a spirit of slumber, Lord, whatever it is, Father, that impedes and restricts our ability to hear your voice, God, would you just make that apparent? Would you help us to deal with it? Would you give us the tools? Would you give us the people to speak to? Would you give us the moment that we need? Holy Spirit, I thank you for your work in this area. I thank you that you are constantly conveying what God is saying. I thank you that you love us, that you move through us, that you shift and shape as you desperately try to move us into the image of Jesus. Father, where we've failed to do that, where we've resisted you, where we've held back, where we've said no, God, please forgive us. Forgive us, Lord. Shift your hearts. We love you. You're so good to us. Father, over everyone here today, Lord, I pray your blessing, Lord. I pray your comfort and your peace. But most of all, Lord, I pray that they would hear your voice, because in every season, your voice is the voice we need the most. Lord, would every other voice be silenced, that your voice, the voice that, Lord, pulls trees down, the voice that tears through the elements, Lord, would that voice be a voice clear in our hearts and our minds? Grow us, Lord, and mature us in Jesus' name. Amen.